Shager, of course, the accolades for Joey Moss continue to fly in today, and probably will be for a long time, which is fantastic. I honestly, I can't recall the last time there was, you know, that much positivity and pretty much 100% agreement on any topic.
it's been a consensus, that's for sure. It's been lots of great stories, and it's been kind of an interesting couple of days to just sort of reflect on just how much he meant to the community. But he's that constant that's kind of always been there. And I think people, not somebody you think about every day, but you smile every time you see or you see on TV. And kind of sinking in what, listening to Gretzky talk about it today and listening to Kevin Lowe talk about it, like, yeah, it'll be really weird going to the Oilers dressing room and not running into Joey Moss there. It'll be really weird for us and for the players and management and people that have been around a long time. So, yeah, it's been I can imagine, though, for his family, the last couple of days in really, really tough times when you lose somebody you love. I know you've been through it with your family. I've been through it with my family. It doesn't take long before you start telling stories and when you see the accolades and the love and the appreciation that everybody has for your loved one, it makes a tough time easier. And so I hope that the last couple of days have been comforting for the family.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Shogger, the American Hockey League today came out, and their return to play is now February, which now usually it does start after the NHL anyway, right? So that's important to note. But, you know, because the AHL is, they work hand in hand with the National Hockey League, no question. Now, they have played without the NHL playing before. That was when there was a lockout, of course. But, you know, if that's their return to play, you have to think the NHL is going to be ahead of it.
Yeah, and normally you got to let rosters settle, right? And so, guys, you don't want to start your regular season in the American League before rosters are set in the NHL and the right players are playing in the right spot. So I think that's kind of a natural progression of things. As Dregs tweeted, I mean, the border is still going to be an issue for them. They got to get some stuff worked out. They've given themselves lots of runway, right? So, and I think the National Hockey League needs to get its business in order before the American Hockey League can really know what they're able to do. And so it doesn't surprise me that they've set a date that's well after what the National Hockey League is hoping and projecting. So you got to try and put some sort of structure in place. You got to try and have a game plan. But really, I think there's really close ties between what the American League is going to be able to do, what the NHL is going to pull off, how it's going to look with the border. They're going to have to play wait and see to a certain degree here on the National Hockey League.
Yeah, like the American League, can they play without fans? Like, I just don't see how.
I don't think that they necessarily can in the usual iteration of the league where there's all the travel between markets and all over the place. One of the things we heard was that American League teams would travel with their NHL teams and basically play games in the same cities as the NHL team is playing games against that team's American League team. So they're kind of like it's just an increased size of the travel group and the whole Oilers organization. You know, the NHL team, the American League team, they travel together. The NHL teams play, the American League teams play, and then they move on. Just trying to, like, I don't know, just keep a synergy there. They're going to be dealing with similar border issues too. So I don't know, man. This is like a Rubik's Cube on top of a matrix. It's just a bunch of really difficult things to try and put in place because there's so much uncertainty. And we're not hearing about meetings that are happening between the two sides because it seems like they've just got a long way to go in putting together scenarios that have a chance to work.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. It is, it's kind of the uncertain time, no question about it, and there's lots to follow. I'm sure they will look at the NFL and, Major League Baseball. Like, let's say the border issue isn't solidified and there is a Canadian division. Do you believe the other 23 or 24 American teams, would they just go into three divisions and stay in their division, or do you think they would travel within the country similar to the NFL and Major League Baseball?
Well, I think that a priority for the players has been legitimacy of competition. And I think that that will probably extend into the regular season as well. So it would make sense that if, you know, NHL teams need to just play in a division here north of the border and they need to play each other, that to have three other divisions down south where there's more travel, a more wider variety of competition, it would kind of mess with the integrity of the setup in some ways. I think if you create a division north, then you create three more divisions south, you let them all play within, you set up a 20-game schedule where they all play within the division, hoping that by the end of that, maybe rules have loosened, and if they haven't, then you, and it looks like it's not going to, then you need to just push through and keep it the same for everybody. I think there'll be potentially, you know, because the divisions will be set up geographically in a way that makes sense. So now you're going to push costs, you're going to push more travel time, you'll have teams south of the border that now have way more, you know, travel that needs to be done than potentially, you know, teams in other divisions, you know, trying to go play 14 different teams or however many it's going to be. I just think that there's always been a priority on making it the same for everybody, and I could see them trying hard to do that just for equality of competition.
Yeah, it would seem strange to me, because if there's only a Canadian division and those teams are only playing each other, but then the other three quarters of the league play, like that to me, it would, and I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it would seem like, well, we have like this one division that only plays each other, but then the other 24 teams all play one another. It would seem, I think if you have a Canadian division, then you just have to have four divisions and everybody plays in their division.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I said. Like equality among the groups. So, yeah. You know, whatever team comes out top spot of the Canadian division has been through a similar challenge to whatever teams come out on top of the other divisions. You don't want to be looking at it and go, holy smokes, like that was a grind for those three divisions in the States, all the extra travel they had to do, trying to get to all these other cities and stuff. And, you know, whereas for the Canadian teams, you know, they hit the postseason with, you could do the math on it, X number fewer of travel miles that they've put on. Now, I know teams every year travel more, some travel more than others.
Oh, way more, yeah.
Right, and that's, but there's nothing you can do about that when you try and create a schedule, you know, a North American schedule. They have control. They have the ability to control that much more this time around because, you know, you're going to have a group that can only play against each other. So you have an excuse to make it the same for everybody. You'd have to purposely not make it the same for everybody.
And well, if you did that, though, Shogger, then you'd have to, if you were looking at travel alone as a reason, then you'd almost have to split the American divisions into, you know, from north to south, not east to west, because in Canada, Vancouver's going three time zones to Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal, whereas, you know, the American division that we looked at was probably L.A., Anaheim, San Jose, Vegas, Arizona, you know, all close proximity. So that's why, you know, there's never a way, I think, even if you went to a Canadian division, because they're in four different time zones in Canada, I don't think they're going to put all the American teams in four different, you know what I mean? They're not going to have New York and L.A. in the same conference.
Right, because you've got Toronto, Vancouver, and such. Like I think you can only take it so far, and you have to use common sense. At the end of the day, money is going to play a big role in this, right? Oh. This is going to be another year of trying to recoup as much revenue as possible. And while equality and competition is important, money is going to trump a lot of what might be common sense. So, no. I mean, you're never going to be able to make it right that Toronto's got to fly to Vancouver for games X number of times a year, where New York never has to go further east of, you know, whatever. Pick a city.
What do you think, Shogger, of Athanasiou? Do you think there's any chance the Oilers and him circle back?
Well, this is interesting. Like, we're seeing some good players available. Like, how about that Galchenyuk contract? Like, $1 million?
Yeah.
That's a good player.
I know.
That's a really good player at $1 million. And I wonder about, I think back, and this will seem like after-the-fact criticism, and it's not really meant that way, because I don't know that anybody could have foreseen exactly the way the free agent market was going to go. There was a lot of question. But, you know, if a team had kept its powder dry and, like, really made an effort to keep its powder dry, And, you know, as a
Zach Cassian, are you talking about?
I wouldn't necessarily say Cassian. That predates everything happening, and that's, I mean, more, you know, Nygaard, Russell. I don't really want to say Ennis because that, you know, he's a good player, but like, you know, the Oilers locked up some of their depth players before you could say they absolutely had to. Right, yes. There wasn't really a rush on some of it, but they wanted to know who they had, and they wanted guys they felt they could rely on at reasonable NHL dollars. Well, who would have known had they waited? You could get better than guys you can rely on one-way contracts. If $1 million gets you Alex Galchenyuk right now on a short-term deal that lets you just try and survive this year, there's some good players out there you could have funneled into your lineup at reasonable dollars here that really could have helped you out. But you would have had to gamble. You would have had to go in without enough guys signed and willing to wait and see what the market did. And so it's not really criticism. I'm just saying, think about some of those contracts, depth contracts that the Oilers did, and had they waited, what quality of player could they be adding to their lineup on one-year deals at, you know, kind of 800 to a million two in two or three of those spots?
Shogger, it's going to be an interesting one to see for the Oilers. You know how, because they still do have room if they want to, because, you know, especially once they get a clearer picture on Klefbom. I haven't heard anything. I've reached out to his agent, nothing. Have you heard anything of an update on Klefbom? Do you think there's any chance he plays?
We're into a quiet period here. It feels to me like it's very unlikely that he's going to play. I mean, listening, and that's just reading into what Ken Holland's been saying. I mean, it sounds like they're basically expecting not to have him at all next year. You know, maybe outside chance they get him later in the year, depending on, and who knows what later in the year is or when that is.
Yeah.
It's strange that if a surgery is being considered, it hasn't happened yet. Like, have you even heard if a surgery is done and happened?
Well, the concern is that, no, I haven't heard there's no surgery done, but having talked to a lot of medical experts on this, the big, like, this is not one where it's like a torn labrum or, you know, like it's ACL or MCL. It's arthritis. And the question is, can they go in with the surgery and basically kind of scrape it out? Right. But the concern is that in some cases you do that, and I don't understand it. I don't want to misspeak here, but they say that it can actually make it worse. And you actually have, you know, because the whole point was to scrape some of it out of it so you get more movement in your shoulder, more range of motion. But that, well, that can be a short-term fix. They actually end up being worse long-term. So that's why I mean, you know, they said he's probably talking to numerous guys because there's no, like, if you have a torn ACL, Shogger, usually it's like, okay, you go do it. Now, an MCL, you can rehab it without having surgery. But a torn ACL just doesn't heal itself, right? There's no way you do it. So, but this is a one that's kind of a gray area where there, it's not like, well, if you do this, it automatically fixes it.
Right. So, listen. I'm not going to, like, we don't know what's going on. I'm not going to argue against the idea that there may be an extremely difficult decision that needs to be made here.
Yeah.
That may well be the case. And Oscar might be looking at options that he doesn't really love any of those options. And this might be a difficult situation where a difficult decision has to be made. The point is, a difficult decision has to be made. And it's had to be made for a long, long, long time now. And it doesn't appear that that decision has been made yet. So I'm not going to dispute the difficulty of the decision, but I will absolutely question how long it's taking to make the decision. Players face this. Players have tough decisions to make about their careers and their health all the time. But I don't recall something being left this long with a player of this level of prominence where there isn't actually a determination made on what's going to be happening. This, it is bizarre to me. And you know what? Maybe he had surgery this week. Like, honestly, full disclosure, I haven't checked in because there just wasn't a lot of information coming out of there. So, but even the fact that it went as long as it did when we first heard about it was way too long for it to have gone. Several months after the season is over. Tough medical decisions need to be made all the time, but you're pro athletes, and you have to make those decisions. And so it seems like it's like, what's going on? Did a decision get made or not? And it, for a long time, it feels like it just didn't. Does that make any sense to you?
No, it totally makes sense. I think that's valid. And, you know, I'd like to get an answer to that question, but I'm sure it's like you. It's all been pretty quiet. So, you know, I understand the right to privacy. But at the same time, it is a profession where they just, you know, in the organization, and I can't, you know, from what I understand is there hasn't been a decision made yet. But here's the thing. The one guy told me that if you do make the decision, you do it, that you can come back and play right away. So it's not an extensive, like not right away, but it's not like if he gets a surgery on November 1st, he can't play again until April 1st. So that's, maybe that's what it is.
But did they hear that the NHL's thinking about starting in January if they can?
Yeah.
Like, are they aware of that? I'm sure they are. So, I mean, whether it's a six-week rehab or a five-month rehab or an eight-month rehab, the point is the sooner you push go on the clock and start it, the sooner you're available to play hockey again. And the Oilers desperately need Oscar Klefbom to be available to play hockey as soon as he can. Now, listen, if this is just strictly about a decision on what to do with a shoulder, you know, then all of this applies to me. It's bizarre and I don't understand it. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. Oscar Klefbom has always been, he's been a battler for this team. He's been a good teammate all these years. Something here isn't adding up, and it's strange, and that's why I'm commenting the way I am. But at the end of the day, this is his body, it's his health. And if he's needing this time to make this decision for whatever reason, then so be it. But it's definitely not normal to the way things normally go.
Shogger, great stuff. We'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, pal. Take care.